Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
Richie Jackson and I went to the same high school, Cheltenham High School in Philly.
At the same time?
No, Reggie is 70. I'm early 50s here.
I was teasing, my bad.
Wise guy.
With Kate, Vonte, and Shasky.
Always just needling the guests. Vonte is our Joe Shasky. And you too, Vonte Hill. Just needling, having some fun with our guests. And speaking of guests, Tim Roy going to be joining us later in the show today. Marky Mark Spears coming up in about 20 minutes as we look back on our top five favorite Warrior moments of the regular season. Looking forward to diving into those in just a little bit. But first, guys, got to get into what the next couple of games mean. Because as Vonte mentioned, I was calling softball down at Stanford last night. And y'all are blowing up the group text thread saying tomorrow night all of a sudden doesn't matter. And it's all about Sunday's game against the Grizzlies. So, Vonte, Joe, bring it in. Get us up to date and caught up about what these next couple of games mean for the Warriors.
Yeah, Flynn coming in right out as I'm looking here
check,
at the Giants scores.
Mike check one, two.
Maybe I was talking to Lake for 2 months between the break about the new J. Cole album.
Good. Thumbs up.
We're good.
Thumbs up.
I'll turn that on the way down to the farm.
J. Cole's playing in a basketball league in Africa. Is that?
We can talk to Mark Spears about that. Mark Spears has some intel about that. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a hooper. He used to go to St. John's all the time. Mullen told me he would just work out with St. John's and shoot some hoops. He's a decent hooper. Decent basketball player, no doubt. Maybe we should get him on the Team 95-7 when we go in the World Tournament. Get a ringer like J. Cole. But look, tonight's game means nothing. It turns out it means nothing against
because
the Pelicans.
Because they're so far behind the Lakers and so far ahead of the Spurs now, right, Vonte? Okay.
Exactly. And so basically Sunday's for the eighth spot, no matter what. Like, the Warriors could lose tonight, and Sunday they beat the Grizzlies, they get the tiebreaker. So it's a matter of, do you want to rest Steph Curry tonight? Do you want to rest Draymond Green? Do you want to rest Andrew Wiggins? Or do you want to continue to roll and build off the momentum? I wouldn't mind seeing some of these guys sat down. That would be good for TV because we'll get the full-on Alex Smolicic and Nico Mannion experience. But since the Grizzlies won yesterday against the Kings, it makes Sunday's game basically a do-or-die game for the number 8 seed. So I don't know how people feel about that, but Sunday,
how do you feel about all the marbles?
They're on a nice roll right now, right? They're vibing. They're playing good basketball. Do you want to sit him? Because Curry went 4 for 24 in those two games against Utah and Phoenix from the three-point line. He looked a little like the legs were a little off, but he did finish at the basket. He played some good basketball overall. Just balls didn't go into the basket. You know, he hit the big three against Utah, no doubt, to hit his third three of that game. But if they rest him after a long season, after a long grind, after playing 8 guys for the last few weeks, I wouldn't mind it tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, these guys need rest.
Can they play into their rest, Vonte? I think I want them to play into the rest tonight. I would love to see a couple of great quarters. I know that Joe's giving me the what the hell are you talking about look over the Zoom right now. But the Warriors of old, right? Ball out for a couple of quarters. Give your guys a 40-point lead or whatever. Or not. Maybe they just play the first couple of quarters. I just worry. I feel like any time football teams or anybody rests guys for health reasons because they've got tired legs, I feel like it more times than not comes back to bite them. So I'm more a fan of the rhythm at this point in the season. They've been playing so well. Let them play at least a couple of quarters And then at halftime, decide, are you close? Are you down by a bunch? Are you up by a bunch? And then make the decision there. So that's where I'm at. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I would probably talk to the guys. And I feel like this is where Steve Kerr and his communication and Bob Myers talking about, you know, when you reach a certain level and you're a certain player, there's a partnership to some degree. Not all the way, but to some degree. I think you got to hear out Steph Kerr. If Steph wants to play, Steph's playing. Like, that's the way I view it. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's what I would tend to do, especially if I was, you know, Steve Kerr. Hey, you know, Steph wants to play. Well, who am I to stop Steph Curry from playing? But I would want to see Andrew Wiggins specifically take the night off, man. This is a guy who's been grinding all
every
year.
Game.
I know.
Played every single game.
And played really hard. Like, even right. on the nights where he hasn't played well, he's played really hard. You can go to some possessions here on offense, but I haven't seen a guy give up on defense. And defense is where you exert a ton of energy. Mm-hmm. So
Maybe just ask the individual guy. I don't know. You know, Steph, you want to play? Wiggs, do you want to play?
Here's
and
the other
we
thing.
We know Jordan Bell's going to make his debut again tonight. And he was pretty funny yesterday.
I'm predicting it right now.
And he looked different.
We're going to see something funny from Jordan Bell tonight. Just I don't know what, but every time I watch this guy play, he's got the Fred Flintstone feet running up and down the court. At some point, we are going to see some. He might throw the ball off the backboard to himself. I don't know. Who knows what he might
GP2's do? GP2's back, too. GP2 yeah. is on this 10-day. I do like G. So we're going to see GP2, Nico Mannion, Jordan Bell, Smiley Geach. It's going to be something else tonight. I have a feeling Steve Kerr's going to lead the rest of these guys, knowing that Sunday, it's all about Sunday. Think about
probably.
The rest game.
So who rests?
You know, probably. They play Tuesday, a back-to-back Tuesday against Utah Phoenix. So they get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday off. That's 4 days off where you're going into this play-in tournament. And who knows? Maybe they sneak up on somebody in the play-in tournament. I know that the Lakers and Blazers is yet to be decided because Portland, I thought they got jobbed last night on that late foul call by
you
Booker.
You think?
That was a rough one because Dame Dolla, man.
That
look,
was not a foul.
Dame is special, man. What he was doing in that fourth quarter against them. Ooh-wee.
So who, who do you want now that it is really real if the Warriors do get the 8 seed, which is what we all want them to get because then if they lose in the 7-8 game, they still have one more opportunity. They'd play the winner of the 9-10 game for the chance to get the 8 seed going into the play. Do you want Portland or do you want the Lakers?
Or do you want to lose deliberately to face the Utah Jazz or the like Phoenix Suns, Utah Jazz? What are your guys' thoughts on that? Like, is that getting too sadistic?
You know what? Phoenix looks vulnerable. Phoenix has been tight in these fourth quarters the last couple games here as they quote-unquote tighten the screws with Monty Williams giving each player screws. Mm-hmm. Like, in the fourth quarter, they get tight, man, and I don't – Lemon Booty's looming down there in the Valley of the Sun here. Huh? I'm saying, with the way the Warriors
– Lemon Booty.
Lemon Booty. Look it up.
It's
getting tight down there in the Valley of the Sun.
It's because you're squeezing, right?
Yeah, squeezing, getting a little tight.
Lemon
you
booty.
Don't really want to shoot. you don't want to shoot it. You want to pass it
out,
to CP3.
Okay,
you
know, that's enough. Move on.
Yeah, that is enough there. I'm getting some bad visuals here. But look, with the way the Warriors are playing, Phoenix or Utah, that's where I'm at here now. Like, and last week, if I would have told you last week, I would have said, you don't want to play Phoenix. Right now, like Phoenix or Utah. Like, who cares? Phoenix or Utah. I take my chances. Take my chances, Kate.
Okay, but then what about this play-in game? You want the Lakers or the Portland Trailblazers?
I'd rather have Dame Dolla the Blazers. I'm not going to lie to you. Give me Blazers. Okay. Give me Blazers.
Just Lakers, because they've gotten there, but they haven't gotten to the mountaintop, and just because regardless of the health of LeBron and AD, they're still LeBron and AD. Is that kind of how you're feeling?
Yeah, they're not big, and the Warriors match up really, really well against the Blazers, I believe. Curry could get off. They don't play defense. It'll be up and down. It'll be a tight battle, no doubt about it. But the Lakers, LeBron James.
Are we sure the Lakers want to win the 7th seed? Like, because if you look at the bracket, if you get onto that side with the Utah Jazz, you avoid certain teams. Again,
the Clippers
this feels
in the
so
second
nefarious.
Round.
Yeah. What do you think?
You get to play Denver. Yeah, that 1-4 or that 5-4, 1-8 side of the bracket, it's juicy. Whoever can get the 5 seed and the 4 seed, you may have a layup to the Western Conference where the Clippers are sitting there at 3, and I think people want to avoid the Clippers, even though the Clippers are just this team that, like, They have no chemistry. You know what I'm saying?
But you don't know, Bonte, when they turn it on, they're really good.
And against the Lakers, they show up for the Lakers. For some reason, they show up for the Lakers, but they play Denver or Dallas, and it's like they're getting beat by 50. They're losing to Denver. It's a weird, weird team, but you get the 5-4 or 1-8, which is what people were talking about. You may have a walk to the Western Conference Finals. It's an easier side of the bracket.
Can we all agree the play-in was a massive success?
This year it was.
I think so. Joe. I'm sure it's going to piss us off in the future if the Warriors are 5, 6, 7. I understand why the Mavs and the Lakers and other teams. But I think from a fan's perspective, I'm with you, Joe. I think it's been a wild success. And we can ask somebody who's really in the know. Bay Area native, Bay Area legend Mark Spears joining us on the other side. And we'll get into all of that with Mark. Who is the better matchup for the Golden State Warriors? And we'll also unpack maybe some top moments for Mark this season for the Warriors. Our top five moments of the season coming up at 7:30. You're listening to The Morning Roast. Happy Friday, everybody. Back in a second here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
And as someone who has broken the record for ejections in baseball and in CYO basketball, both as a coach, player, and just a person in the stands, okay, I know what it takes to get kicked out of the game. Believe me, I understand it.
With Kate, Bonte, and Shasky.
Oh, cannot wait, Bonte. We're getting closer. Cannot wait till you and I can be chowing down on some popcorn, drinking some Coca-Cola straight out of the rip at the arenas or the little gymnasiums at some of the gyms around here in the Bay. Just going, yeah, Joe, great coaching decision there, buddy.
Take
your
him out.
Looking awesome. As Joe gets dragged back into the locker room by his wife, Michelle. You got to calm down, Joe. Mark Spears joining us in just a minute or two to talk about
the NFL. Warriors,
but I can't wait for that, Joe Shasky.
First off, no food or beverage is allowed to be consumed in a lot of these youth league basketball gyms.
Top row?
Because people like you, they get sticky fingers and they get it all over the seats and then they drop their popcorn. They knock over their Gatorade and the next thing you know, we've got a mess. And so I've got a question about beef jerky for you guys.
Are you eating some beef jerky right now?
No, I was eating. It's completely gone down the gullet.
You know how I feel about that.
What? This is part theater of the mind, my friend. Some people can do it. Other people can talk about it. I can do both. So here's the difference.
Beef jerky, for me, I'm totally in, but
it's got to be very specific. Are you guys in or out on beef jerky?
Totally in. Huge jerky fan. Bonte?
Who's not in on beef jerky? Is there anybody out there who's out on beef jerky?
Good question. 888-957-9570.
That's what I want to know. Yeah. Who's out on beef jerky? Are you kidding me?
Well, I think people that only consume beef jerky, like the thin, horrible, super chewy, like I'm talking middle of nowhere on I-5 gas station style beef jerky, the worst beef jerky in the world. I mean, literally, you're going to have to remove your teeth after you chewed it because it's so difficult to get down. That's the worst kind of beef jerky.
The saltwater taffy beef jerky.
You know what, though? And I'll still chew on it. Gas station beef jerky on I-5 going down to L.A., I will still snack on it. That's how much I love beef jerky.
Well, that's the must-get snack, right? When you're on a road trip, it is beef jerky. We all have our own kind of chips. Usually I go super awful, like chili cheese Fritos if I'm stopping at a gas station. I mean, you can take the girl out of the valley, but you can't take the Clovis out of the girl. Anyway, we'll get back to that nonsense conversation. That's a good question. He's with us now. Senior writer for the undefeated, the Bay Zone, Mark Spears. Mark, are you a beef jerky guy?
Teriyaki.
There you go.
That's the go-to.
The healthy turkey one now, but if the teriyaki with the pepper,
See?
I'm literally chewing on that right now.
See?
Literally chewing on it right now.
All right, Mark, let's get into it. Who's the best matchup for the Warriors in the play-in game and then potentially in the first round?
Memphis. I don't want to play against Coach Popovich in one game. although Memphis does have a better record than the Spurs, you definitely don't want to play the Lakers or Portland. But I would just say Memphis, even though they actually if you look back in the bubble, when I was in the bubble, Memphis lost in this situation last year.
Yep.
But they didn't have, you know, we talked so much about Ja Morant, but they didn't have Jaren Jackson at that time. And Ja Morant was hurt. So now you got them both healthy. There's no way, no easy way to do it, you know. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick the tough, still tough straw. I'd pick Memphis.
Mark, you a fan of this play-in tournament?
I'm becoming one because I think it's good for my network. But I think the one cool thing that it's doing is, one, it has to be good if the star players are complaining about it, right? Because LeBron and Luka didn't complain about it until their team was going to be in peril, you know? Then all of a sudden it was a problem. But it's made the end of the regular season interesting. Whereas before, you're like, they're going to sit people, let's just wait to the end. No, these teams have to win. There's been more jockeying for position than I've seen. I do feel bad. I think they should cut it down. I don't think it should include the seventh seed. Right. What I think they should do is just have 9 and 10 play, and then the winner play 8. I think it's kind of unfair for the seventh seed to be put in, because if the Lakers end up getting eliminated, if they're in, how is the NBA going to feel about that? How is television going to feel about that? So I do think they should drop it back a spot and not throw the seventh seed in there.
I mean, that would have gone full circle, because they added the 7 games to the first round because of the Lakers many moons ago. So, you know, Mark, you've covered the league for such a long time. We've talked a lot about, you know, LeBron James drafted number 1 overall, phenom since high school. That's a great story. We love watching it. We're not taking anything away from him. But there's something special about the come up, the random guy who goes through the crazy journey. And Juan Toscano-Anderson getting rewarded with the contract, it's just so cool. I mean, how rare is it, though? You've followed this league for a long time. How rare is his story to be able to do it for his hometown team and go the road that he traveled?
Can it possibly be the rarest? I mean, obviously, you hear some weird stories about overseas guys. But I did a big story on Juan a couple months ago. And shout out to him, Town Business, for sure. He didn't even put his name in the draft. Like, wow. Think about that. And that's something I think that's really understated. How many people in the NBA didn't put their name in the draft that are in the NBA that aren't international guys? He probably is the only one, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked him why he didn't put his name in. He's like, no team called for me. No one worked me out. No one showed any interest. So he said his initial plan was to come back to Silicon Valley and try to find a job. He had a degree from Marquette, And then he got a call from Mexico and went in that direction. But he didn't put his name in the draft. And now he has a guaranteed contract, probably starting, I'm guessing he's getting the minimum deal, paying close to $1 million. Not bad. That's a made-for-TV story, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Talking with Mark Spears, senior writer for the undefeated Bay Area, born and raised, and going to be emceeing a little NBA Hall of Fame class induction ceremony tomorrow. And for folks, today, it's today. Okay.
Yeah, no, so this is the, I'll let you finish, but it's the press conference.
Okay. So it's introduced today. And for folks who haven't seen the whole class, I'm not going to rip through all of them, but Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Rudy Tomjanovich, Tamika Catchings, Kim Mulkey, Mike Wilbon is getting a media award. Mike Breen is getting a media award. Bill Russell is getting an award. That's a pretty good list. Is this the greatest Hall of Fame class that you've seen go in, Spears?
A couple years ago, I was there for Iverson, Shaq, and Yao Ming, and Lisa Leslie, which was pretty strong in its own merit. I don't know who was in with Michael Jordan, but let's just assume that was a strong one because Michael Jordan was just,
we have that one. So class of 2009 might be the other. Jordan, David Robinson, John Stockton, Jerry Sloan, Vivian Stringer, all-time great coach at Rutgers. So That's pretty good, too.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but to me, and maybe because I covered all these guys, like Duncan's greatest power forward of all time, Kevin Garnett, to cover him, to see him up close for 2 years was just absolutely amazing when seeing him in his prime. And I think he doesn't get talked about enough. And what do we say about Kobe? Man, it's just, I got to know him pretty well. It pains me that he's gone. I don't know that I still really accepted it. When I do the press conference today, I'm going to basically be talking to all the main inductees. And unfortunately, nobody from his family wanted to take any questions. I know they want it to be a celebration in his honor, but I really wish I could have had the opportunity to ask Vanessa Bryant some questions. But I still think it comes on 11 a.m. Pacific on NBA TV. Say a prayer for me that I don't mess up.
You're going to be solid, Mark. You're going to kill this, man.
I got to do my Bonta Hill impression, host on TV and everything.
Nah, man.
They got me reading from cards and told me not to go off script, which that'll probably save me.
Nah, man, go off script a little bit, Mark. Yeah. Be you, man. Yeah. You're going to destroy man.
Y'all TV people, they're like, look, it's everything slotted. I had this great, I don't know if you have time for it, I had this great Kevin Garnett story I wanted to tell, and they won't let me.
Stick to the script for the most part, Mark, but follow your journalist gut. So if there is a necessary, your gut is telling you, I have to ask this follow-up, just go with your gut, because that's going to be those will be the moments folks remember.
Yeah.
No doubt. Go with your gut. That's what I do.
They got a heat lamp on me that they could turn up if I go off script. So it's a serious deal. I had to take a COVID test this morning, and the sad thing is I don't think I'm going to get any time with any of them because of everything that's going on. But this is certainly a tremendous honor for me. I'm really, really excited.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I wish Kobe was still around for you to ask some questions. Miss Kobe every single day. But real quick, Mark, Western Conference playoffs coming with the Warriors being so hot and playing eight deep with JTA and Curry doing what he's doing. Draymond playing the best ball of the season and Wiggins doing what he's doing. This Western Conference playoff field, is this the most wide open you've seen this Western Conference in a long time? I know the Lakers are getting healthy, but it feels like it's so wide open this season in the West.
I think the whole NBA is. Like, there's no giving in the East. There's no giving in the West. There's no giving for a champion. This is going to be really, really exciting. It's about as wide open as I remembered in covering the NBA for 22 years. So I feel the anticipation of the playoff. Like, this is going to be great. And I'm glad that fans are able to come in. Like, do I expect the Warriors to last more than a round? No. But this is going to be invaluable for Wiggins. He needs this. I wish Wiseman got to be a part of this. It'll be interesting to see Oubre come. I like adding Jordan Bell now because he knows the system and he could play some spot minutes. They needed some more. Not that he's a big guy, but needed some more size, needed somebody up front. So I'm really, really intrigued to see how this whole dramatic playoffs is going to play out.
Mark, you teased a Kevin Garnett story right there. You got some time. Why don't you tell us that story?
So Labor Day, like when you guys go to Vegas, you turn up, right?
Always.
Of course.
Always. Well, Mark. Yeah. Not Labor really. Day. I don't.
No, me neither.
The day before Labor Day, I got a tip that KG was going to be working out at this gym, or he had works out of this gym every morning, starting at 6 a.m. Who works out at 6 a.m. in Vegas? Kevin Garnett. So somebody told me, hey, man, just walk in, and if you want to try to, like, talk to him, just go in and try. So I get there at, like, 7 a.m. It looked like Kevin had just played a game. He was drenched sweat. He was doing all these basketball workouts and weight workouts, and he was pissed that I was there. So he's doing all this stuff, screaming, yelling, giving me the death stare and all this stuff. And so when he finished working, he, like, takes off. One player had just walked in. It's like 8:30 now, right? I think it was Caron Butler. Nobody else is there but him. So I stop him, like, Kevin, man, can you please, you know, answer some of my questions, blah, blah. He's like, nah, man, I'm good. I said, look, one thing, just tell me one thing. Why are you here at 6 in the morning? And he goes, because I need to be the first one to put my feet in the sand. And he kept, and he walked away. And I always just remember that. About, now, I got some other stories about him that aren't as flat.
Lead with that one, Mark.
Right.
Yeah, but they don't want me to tell that story. I had, like, a condensed version of it. Probably the funniest Garnett story from covering him. He didn't sign an autograph at all. And after a finals game in 2010, a ball boy came up to him with a ball and asked for his autograph. And Garnett told him, you have a better chance of Bin Laden signing that than me, and then left.
Damn. KG's fierce. Ooh,
well, Mark, we so appreciate your time this morning. Again, 11 a.m. Pacific time, NBA Network. Is that where it is?
Yep. 2 o'clock Eastern, NBA TV. You can watch it on the NBA app. It's going to be about an hour and a half. It should be. One thing that's interesting is, too, real quick, it's going to be some media there that are going to ask questions, but also it's going to be on Zoom. So there are going to be media from all over the world asking questions on Zoom, which should make it certainly a little memorable for sure.
Awesome. Well, go break a leg. We know you're going to be great at it.
Stay into the script.
Look at our boy.
Man. No, Mark, at lib if you need to. That's what I do.
Just
I bring your radio to TV, man.
On occasion.
Just if you need to go on the script a little bit, get some laughs in, be you, Mark. You go kill it,
dude,
man.
But you already got your check. I ain't even getting paid. Well, maybe that's the reason why I should, right? I ain't getting
paid. Exactly. One and done. One and done.
Shoot your shot.
Drop the mic. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Take care.
Go ahead, Shasky. What you got real quick before
Bonte,
we reset?
I know you're going to reset with the foghorn. We're going to give you the top stories. We're going to give you the great moments from the Warriors. I got a quick Kevin Garnett interaction, and this kind of speaks to what Mark Spears was talking about. You guys know I've only been on a plane a handful of times, but one of those times I went to Hawaii. And when I went to Hawaii in the middle of the summer, they have this Pete Newell big man tournament Hawaii.
Yep.
Or like a camp, I guess is what it's more described.
A camp.
Camp. And so it's raining and there's like thunder. And so a lot of the flights are grounded and everybody's getting delayed. Now, you got to understand, I'm a novice flyer, so I'm losing my mind. And I'm walking around the airport with all this nervous energy. And I see this big man and I look at him and I say, wow, I think I know who that is. That's Etan Thomas. You know, the guy who used to play for the Wizards.
Right.
He got the hair and everything. And
yep.
I mean, we're talking about a huge human being. Absolutely huge human being.
Yeah.
And I walk up to him. I'm like, hey. And you said Syracuse, Bonte?
Yeah. Yep.
That's exactly what I thought. I walked up. I'm like, yo, Orange, da-da-da-da. We start talking. He's like, oh, man, that's real cool. How did you notice? He's like, dude, you're 7 feet tall. Like, how could I not notice you? And you've got very remarkable hair. So we're walking through. I give him a little dap. What up? I've never been an autograph seeker. That's not kind of my thing. I always like, you know, share a moment or whatever. Tell someone what's up.
Kind of surprising, if I'm being honest. Kind of surprised by that, Bonte.
It's weird.
With all the memorabilia, I understand that, and I respect that, but with all the memorabilia you've got and flags from golf courses and baseballs from third grade. So anyway, continue.
Well, I just think it's always odd to like ask someone to sign something and then walk away. Like, I'd rather have the couple of minute interaction, laugh a little, and then tell the story later on. That's just my particular opinion, you know, live in the moment, right? So I go get some food. I walk around the airport, and there's all these big guys. I don't recognize almost any of them, but I get into the restroom. I come out of the bathroom. You know, you're lugging all your stuff with you because you can't leave anything anywhere. It's post-2001 with 9/11 and whatnot. And I look in the mirror, and who's behind me? Kevin Garnett. And I turn over my shoulder, and I'm like, KG. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, come on, man. I know it's you, KG. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Kept dead, just dead on straight looking at me. I'm like, oh, my God, really? This guy's going to ghost me in the restroom? Like, all right, whatever, no big deal. I dry my hands. I'm walking out. all of a sudden this giant paw hits me on the back of the shoulder. He's like, you know, I can't let anybody know that the big ticket is here. And then he just kept walking. And I was like, oh my God. Largest human being I've ever seen in my life, Kevin Garnett. And he looked like an alien. He's so tall. Okay.
That was a great story, and it ended really well. But how many unnecessary details is in that story?
Throw the flag.
Yeah, an awful lot of information, don't you think?
That's a 30-yard. That is pass interference. We're going 50 yards down the field. Joe Shasky, we are now at the 1-yard line. Trey Lance, let's run it in. Hit that foghorn again, Steven. Let's do it again. Good story. Good story.
That was unnecessary. All right, let's reset this bad boy. We are going through our top five moments of the season for the Golden State Warriors. Top five moments. I want to hear from Warrior fans here. What is your top five? What is your top moment of the season? 888-957-9570. We're going to reveal our top moments of the season. But first, we're going to start with an honorable mention. Shout out to our guy, Kevin Dana, down there at the Pac-12 doing his thing.
Yeah.
At times, he fills in for Tim Roy, and he did on February 17th when the Warriors, without Draymond Green, came back from a big-time deficit against the Miami Heat and outlasted them in overtime to win. Here's Kevin Dana on the call as the Warriors rally against the Heat without Draymond Green.
Bazemore fakes the handoff to Steph. He'll drive right down the lane, puts it up, blocked. Wiggins is there. He puts it up too strong. The tap follow finally there for Baze, who flexes afterwards, and Golden State finally has its first lead of the game. 109-109, 80 seconds to go. Steph splitting a double team, fires a deep three. It's good for Stephen Curry. They'll bleed out some clock with Steph handling. Guarded by Nunn, blows past him, kicks it into the corner for Wiggins for three. Rain dance for Andrew Wiggins. Steph holding high up top on the left side. Now Nunn crowds him a bit. He's driving right over to the wing. Backs it out again with a left-hand handle. Crossover dribble. Fires a contested three. Nope. Cash me out one time! Wow!
I love our guy, Kevin Dana. Bonte, I love that we're getting this honorable mention in because we've been talking all morning about grinders. We started with JTA converting the two-way contract to a true NBA contract. He is with the Warriors all season long next year. We're going to play the sound for you coming up in just a bit. But just to come up, right? Kevin has been grinding just like us for so many years. He's the voice of Stanford women's basketball on the radio down there. And getting the call up, he's the voice of the G League Warriors, right? The C-Dubs. Yep. So for him to, I know he's called a couple of games in the past, but this was a really fun one that he got to call. So shout out to our boy, RKD, who's still here in the Bay. And I like that honorable mention, Bonte, because it was a big win, right? It's one of those ones we've kind of forgotten about at this point, but big win way back in February.
Well, remember, Shasky, right before the game, Kate, you're right, it was a huge win because Draymond Green, right before the game, he scratched. And everybody's thinking, oh, how are they going to win this game? And Kendrick Nunn comes out on fire. He's bombing away. They're playing well. They were up 19 to Miami Heat in that basketball game. And then Bazemore started chirping, right? I think he got a technical in the third quarter. He started chirping. And next thing you know, he had the game of his life. He had like 18 in that game. And Wiggins was solid with the back-to-back threes and over with the three in overtime. And it occurs Curry, who struggled in that game. I think he went 5-for-20 from the three-point line of that basketball game. That was a nice little midseason win for the Warriors where it was like, oh, all right, they're surviving. They come back against the Heat, another rally down 19, and it was just a wild, wild game, and Kevin Dana made it even wilder, talking about rain dance and cash money records. What's up, KD? Can't wait to see him tonight at Chase Center. KD, one of the best in the business, man.
Rain dance!
He knows how to roll those R's, Sasky.
Rain dance!
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. This was the game Tyler Hero was talking big, too. This big. Is a
That's
big
right.
Tyler Hero smack talking game, if you remember correctly. And man, the kid's a funny one. I actually really enjoy watching him. And Iguodala looked really old because it was before he cut his hair. I don't know why he just as the hair was being grown out, he just looked older and older and older. And God bless Iguodala.
So true, so true.
Cash me out one time!
Oh, my gosh. Kevin, love it. And I loved it. I talked to him afterwards, and I asked him how much prep he was able to do, and he said, I literally got the call, like, that afternoon and just busted it up, you know, 101 or 280 or whatever he was driving to San Francisco. And he said, I was flying by the seat of my pants. And sometimes that can be the best broadcasting. It can also be the worst broadcasting. But I thought he did a fantastic job on that game.
Rain dance!
He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. 888-957-9570. I want to hear from the Dub Nation. What are your top moments of the season? We will be doing this for the most of their show. Tim Roy, I think, is going to join us at 850. Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors here at 95.7 The Game. So 888-957-9570.
I want to create a relationship because Tim Roy's too professional. God love him. He's just too professional, too good. Kevin Dana, he's kind of my kind of guy. So what I'm thinking, and again, I'm a Tim Roy guy too.
Wow.
That we ask Kevin Dana if we could slip in some great movie quotes into some of these calls. Like, I'm thinking Steph Curry hits a three. Say hello to my little friend. Like, we get a little bit of everything from him. Oh, Draymond Green made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Like, we need all of those. I'm thinking we have some sort of a partnership with him. We bring him on. We try to incorporate some of our drops into, you know, hey, man. Look at, for example, James Wiseman stuffs him at the rim. Everybody's got a little butcher in him. Like, all the little things we talk about, unnecessary details. We need something. I need to get him in on our little team, and we got to infiltrate the broadcast. What do you think, Bonte? Is that doing too much?
I mean, let the guy secure the bag first before we start dropping these Scarface quotes, man. It's scared on these old rich people, man. Like, what? This dude's quoting Scarface? A movie about a cocaine dealer killing dudes?
40 years
like,
old.
Let him secure the bag, man. Spoiler alert,
Bonte. Spoiler alert. Better Kate than Never. All the movies your girl should have watched 35 years ago, coming soon. Anyway, let's keep moving in our top five Warriors moments. Another honorable mention, more recent. So the Miami overtime comeback was back in February. This was, I believe, Monday, April 19th. So we have the great Saturday night game in Boston, right? Back on the beautiful parquet floor at TD Garden, and Jason Tatum and Stephen Curry are just trading, just slobber knockers. Oh, that was a great game. Even though the Warriors didn't win, 119-114 Boston, and then they're at Philadelphia, and we're thinking, oh man, it's going to be two losses in a row. I mean, Philly, one of the top teams in the East, and then Stephen Curry says, No, man. Get on my back, Warriors. We're gonna go to Washington and head home with at least one dub here. So let's flash back to the game in Philly on Monday, April 19th. Another honorable mention in this regular season for the Warriors.
So it's Curry on Curry. The backyard battle. Steph fades, fires over Seth. It's good with a three at the buzzer to end the first quarter. And the Warriors and the Sixers will start the second all tied at 24. Steph off a screen. Right sideline fades and fires. He got another one! Steph Curry! He's on a different level. He's playing in a different universe than the rest of the NBA. Damian Lee with it. Oh, yeah, Wiggins open off a back screen. Missed him. Ball goes into Looney. Now back to Curry. Checks the clock. Seven to shoot. Working on George Hill to Logo. Drifts right. Comes back left. Step back three for Steph, and it's money! Cold, hard cash!
I like it. I like it a lot, Bonte. It felt like, again, these are all just moments from the season, but it felt like I did not see that coming. I thought after they lost to the Celtics, oh man, they're going to lose these two, and then hopefully they can get past the Wizards, end the road trip on a high note, and come on home. But Steph Curry, he's a bad man, Bonte. He had other ideas.
No, he did have other ideas, and remember in that game, they were down 12-0 right off the rip. And it was like, oh boy, they're going to get blown out here. And,
I don't remember
that. No JTA, and you don't remember that, Shasky?
No, I don't, for some reason.
No, yeah, they were down 12-0 right off the bat. And it was like, damn, all right, that's not going to happen. This game's a wrap. And they fight back in. Curry hits a three at the end of the first quarter buzzer. Yeah, this is why, you know, I work too many damn games, man. It's like you remember all these unnecessary moments here. But Curry was special in that game. And Philly,
the text line mad at us, by the way, Bonte. They loved Joe's bathroom. Full of details story about his interaction with Kevin Garnett. So you and I are getting shade thrown at us, probably rightfully so, from the Texters. But keep going.
He had an awful lot of information, don't you think?
Yeah, but it was good.
So Curry dominates the fourth quarter. And remember in Philadelphia, they started chanting MVP for Stephen Curry in that game. So that was definitely – Shasky and Kate, one of the highlights of the year.
All right, so you guys ready to get into this? Are we ready to, you know, get into the main?
Let's
nothing,
do it.
Nothing
let's
there, do it. Nothing, nothing
let's
there.
Do it. Let's get into the top five.
Nothing
let's
about
get
the
into
Philly
it.
Game?
Well, I mean, the Philly game was fun. The Philly game, actually, in a weird way, even though the Boston game was a loss, I actually enjoyed that one aesthetically. Yeah. For me, like, again, not all the best moments of the year for me, just for me, are games that you have to win. So the Philly game was a big win. There's no question about it. That Boston game was just so much fun. Like, I was standing, pacing in the living room.
It felt like a playoff game, right? Awesome. Didn't that feel like one
Absolutely.
Of the first playoff games of the
season? It was
a really
good game. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, and Tatum going mano a mano with Steph down the stretch. It was really special. Like, I really enjoyed that game. So, again, no knock on Philly. I'm just Philly.
It's okay. You know, everybody has their own favorite moments of the season. That's what makes it fun. And, again, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to be unpacking our top five over the next couple of hours. So, Joe, let's get into it in no particular order. It's not like this is number five all the way up to one.
Yeah.
But these are our top five. So, get into it, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, so I'm assuming here, guys, we're going to go with the one where it starts the season off, essentially, correct? Is that what we're going to roll with? I mean, yeah. I'm thinking worst-case scenario this year. Are they going to win a game? Are they going to win a game this year? Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm losing my mind. Lauri Markkanen is destroying them. He goes out, gets hurt, and the next thing you know, the Warriors battle back late in the fourth quarter. They're already 0-2 to start the year. I'd barely seen Draymond at all, let alone playing in a game. They're on the road in Chicago. Kate, you got to look like you're ready to jump in there.
I was just going to say bad losses. Like, let's not forget, it was, they're at Brooklyn. They lose 125-99, y'all. Blowout. Curry looks awful. Can barely muster 20 points. Then at Milwaukee. Oh, yeah. Okay, here. We're going to bounce back. Bring on Giannis. 138-99. They lost by almost 40 points. Curry, a big 19 points from Stephen Curry. Two games into the season, I'm thinking, holy blank, this is, we thought getting through 49ers season on the radio was tough. Like, trying to get through this Warriors season, whoo! So that's all
Absolutely.
I needed to say, but go ahead. And then game three at Chicago. Oh, God, what's going to happen here?
They almost throw away the inbound pass. They're down late. They have an opportunity to steal one on the road. Damian Lee gets the ball kicked back to him. I believe he was the inbounder, correct, Bonte? And he hits one of the greatest shots in Warrior memory in terms of, like, the moment with how much time was on the clock. I mean, it had a little Derek Fisher in it. It was freaking awesome. Just play the sound. Let it speak for itself.
Curry gets a screen from Looney. Can't get free. Ball thrown into Looney. Hand off Damian Lee. Poe goes into a three. It's up and good! Damian Lee hit it! 1.7 to go. Chicago does not have timeouts. Warriors lead 129-128. Play in the backcourt. Now goes over to Satoransky. He'll fake and fire. It throws it up. It's no good, and the Warriors have won in Chicago. They pick up their first win of the year on a Damian Lee three.
I mean, Tim Roy, because there was time still left on the clock, he did not capture how crazy it was on the court. Steph Curry's running around. I don't even know if they knew they had 1.9 left on the clock. They were trying to celebrate, but they weren't. And absolute bedlam, in my opinion. Just incredible. Huge win. If they don't win that game, does this season play out the way it goes? I mean, like, seriously, take a step back and soak it in. They needed that win so bad. And Damian Lee, just huge. God, they miss him.
And it led to a nice win in Detroit a couple nights later where they rallied in the fourth quarter. Wiggins had a big fourth quarter. JTA has some big possessions there in the fourth quarter throughout that basketball game. But that Chicago game, what's crazy is Tony Brothers, one of the most notorious referees for getting everything wrong. He's a joke. Nobody likes him in the league. The two-minute report comes out. It should have been a five-second violation. Damian Lee almost steps in bounds while trying to pass it. And Looney sets an illegal screen. So the play shouldn't have counted. And they come out with the two-minute report saying, that was a five-second violation and an illegal screen. But you know what? We'll take the victory. And that's how the Warriors felt about that one. And that's how their first victory of the season came. Because it was like, I remember the text messages from Shasky, from Kate, from Twitter. Oh, man. Kerr's got to go. They're going to lose to Chicago. This season stinks. And they were down like 9 in the fourth. Dude, Shasky, you were freaking out that one. Trust me.
We were freaking out. I don't know if we were saying fire the coach, fire the GM.
Well, I'm not saying fire
freaking.
The coach. But.
Didn't it? But Shasky's right. I vividly remember. It's the third game of the season. It's December 27th.
Panic button.
I'm up in Tahoe. third game of the season, and I'm like, are they going to lose this basketball game? What is happening? I know that they're without Klay Thompson. I knew it was going to be a tough start to the season, but it literally felt like if they lose this game, all could be lost early in the season. Mm-hmm. It could go from a 3-game losing streak to a 20-game losing streak just like that. So that was, and I had forgotten about that part, Bonte. I had totally forgotten that they got lucky in a number of aspects, but it felt like that big of a win.
The Bulls were in control of that entire game, should have won that game going away, and the Warriors had no business being in the position to steal that one on the road, and then did. I mean, just incredible. The whole sequence of the inbound, Bonte, the way you broke that down, I forgot all of those parts of it. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago. My goodness.
It does. And that was the game where we interviewed Steph and Damian Lee on the postgame show. That was my first, like, postgame interview on TV, and in my ear, everybody's freaking out. John's, all right, we got Damian Lee. Go, Damian Lee. Steph's waiting by. Hurry up, Steph's waiting by. Remember, he had the little braids in the first two games?
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have the braids for that game. We're like, all right, the braids are done, right? He's like, yeah,
didn't really like over. The braids.
Yeah,
the it braids just didn't look right for him.
It did look right for Steph Curry. Yeah,
I liked it. He was trying something different. I respected it.
He was trying something different, but he let it go. And remember, he had to practice in New York, or was it New York, or wherever they stayed. In Chicago, I should say, Chicago, where he hit like 105 straight threes, and everybody was talking about that.
Right.
And, you know, it felt so long ago. Third game of the season.
But
and look, they needed that win. They win two in a row in that road trip, and they got the split. So Damian Lee making the top five.
It's got to be his moment in the NBA, right, Kate? Like Damian Lee's, if you were to like have a top couple of moments, that's right there for me in terms of it's probably his biggest moment in the NBA.
Well, 100%.
It's against Toronto, remember?
Exactly, Bonte. Because all of us, I think most of us, at least, I don't want to say everybody, but most of us, me included, were like, oh, this is cute. Steph has his best friend back on the team in Kent Bazemore, and he's got his brother-in-law on the team. Like, gee golly gosh, this is awesome. I hope they can do something. But I did not expect it to be like, Steph's not open. Damian Lee, here we win. Like, that's how the end of that game felt. And it was the first time that I considered him a legit important piece of this team. And now here we are, two games left, and people are coming in on the text line like, what's the status of Damian Lee? What's the status of Pascal? What's the status of Oubre? And Bonte, I think yesterday it sounds like Oubre and Pascal and Lee could be back for the postseason, but they're all kind of question marks.
Yeah, I heard Pascal may come back tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. We'll hear about that from Tim Roy, but he needs to get some run because I'm not sure about his position on his team moving forward. Is it small ball five? Can he make the others around him better? We know he can score the basketball, but can he rebound? Can he do other things? But they do need reinforcements. Like, I'm not sure if all these guys are going to play, but just to have that option. I mean, they've been rolling eight deep for what it seems like 3 weeks now. And can you really do that in the playoff series as you get to game five, you get to game six, you get to game seven? It's so intense in the playoffs. So get these guys back, and hopefully Lee gets back, because what a weird journey for him over the last couple of weeks. You get vaccinated, then you get COVID. Like, hey, wow. Hey, hopefully he is right, and he can contribute to this basketball team in the playoffs.
He's not the only athlete. Right now the Yankees have, I think, 7 or 8 guys that have tested positive for COVID after being vaccinated. So clearly there's some stuff going on, and I don't know who to believe, but they're saying that, like, hey, because they were traveling in between the incubation periods, you know, who knows what the heck's going on? We don't know. Even science can't agree on all this stuff.
What we do know is the Warriors have had a damn exciting season, and we're looking back at some of our favorite moments as they get sent for their final two games of the season. Pelicans tonight right here on 95.7, and then 12:30 in the afternoon on Sunday, the game that's going to decide the 8 seed. Is it the Grizzlies? Is it the Warriors? You can hear that one right here on the game as well. So let's start to get into our top four. Damian Lee and the buzzer beater in Chicago was top five. Also, your thoughts on beef jerky, Joe?
Thank you. I'm going to break down beef jerky on the other side, because I'm going to give you some of my criteria for what makes good beef jerky.
Okay, more of that on the other side. And our top four Warriors moments of the season after this here on 95.7 The Game.